Hello, good people, and welcome to the Brunswick Beer Collective once again. I am Chris Shorten. With me, as always, is Jeff Chi.
Hey, y'all.
And Paul Christoph.
Good evening.
And we are sitting here. It's a Monday night. We have several beers in front of us, and life is good, really.
It's pretty good, yeah.
I mean, the weather's too shabby.
The weather's rubbish, but, can't complain.
And the outhouse's Wi-Fi is down.
Yes, that. And now I should point out that one of the reasons life is good is because we finally put up our website. So if you want to actually comment on any of this, nick onto www.brunswickbeercollective.com, and you can find all the episodes, you can download whatever you want, you can comment on whatever you want, and you know, obviously you can make fun of us the way we've made fun of everything else.
Absolutely. We encourage you to get on, post, email us, ridicule us, suggestions, feedback, all welcome.
Exactly. What Jeff said, though, obviously, if you could steer any abuse towards Jeff and not Paul or I.
It's probably my fault anyway.
Probably Jeff's fault, yeah.
Exactly. Especially if you're a disgruntled venue, because I'm sure they're out there.
If you're on the banned list.
Yeah.
That's right. And you know who you are.
However, if you're on the nap list, we're quite happy for you.
That's true. Two distinct, but important lists.
Exactly. And I don't think we would ever want to strike anyone off the nap list.
Not at all. That would be... No. Yeah, if I had to strike someone off the nap list, that would be a complete disaster.
No, I mean, what would you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm that's not in my sort of...
Inconceivable.
I haven't really bothered to plan for that scenario. Maybe I should, but, you know...
Look, let's not think about it. I just don't need that sort
it's
of
just
nightmare.
Unpleasant.
So, this past week, so I'll go through... I think we've all had separate different beer ventures of sorts.
We have. We kind of had a bit of a unified beer venture on Saturday, but other than that, there was a bit of a disparate
Yeah. We're all scattered for a little bit. I was on Friday. I was at the magazine launch party for a journal called the Canary Press, and it's a really, really, really cool journal. If you've never tracked it down, really good writers in there. But I was at the launch, and that they had got a keg that was supplied by Brunswick Bitter, I think. And it was great. I mean, when you go to any of these sort of launches, then you're always happy when you're given free alcohol. It's kind of part and parcel. You can't do it unless there's free alcohol. And so we got through, and that they'd finished off the keg, because obviously there was a lot of people there all desperate for said alcohol. There was also like a brass band walking through all the time. It was really cool. But then, once we got to the end and we could see that it was in, and we sort of went up there and we thought, oh, okay, let's try luck. Let's see what we get next. And that they handed us that what they called the emergency beer. And from a distance, I'm like, oh, is that Stella? And then I got really close and I realised, oh, it's faux Stella. It's from Aldi.
Really?
Yeah. It the label is designed in the same way as what Stella is. And when I picked it up, my friend and I were both saying, like, this is what I think it is. And then she goes, yeah, it's Aldi. Sorry.
I wasn't even aware of this concept.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I had no idea.
They've also got Confederate bourbon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That makes no sense.
So what is the Aldi beer called then?
I can't remember, but it was something like, it wasn't Happy Time, but it was... definitely not Happy Time. But it was something that was strangely pleasant.
Right, so it's not called like Aldi Artois.
No. But it tasted like shit. I mean, despite the fact that was like...
Scheisenlager.
The Scheisenlager.
Despite the fact that it was like the fourth or fifth beer, it was still, you sort of drank and you went, do I have to finish this? But of course, it'd be rude if you didn't, because you'd already wrangled that away from some other person wrangling for the beer.
That's right. I mean, there was another poor writer wanting that free beer who's now not having that free beer. Mm. So you are obligated to take your medicine, literally.
As a fellow poor writer, to me, it was like, okay, this is the life I've chosen.
Correct.
So that was my idiotic beer venture, where, that grim discovery that there is actually an Aldi beer that kind of looks like a Stella, and is so much worse.
Yeah. So then, Paul and I, you and I, we went to the Beaufort on Friday night.
Pirate bar, as I like to call it.
That's right. We both had a really shitty Thursday. Basically, you worked until 2 a.m., had about 5 minutes of sleep, and then got back on the saddle.
Yep.
I had 0 minutes of sleep and pretty much worked from 7 a.m. Thursday until 6 p.m. Friday. So I think by by about mid-Friday afternoon, we were both in the mood for a beer.
Time for beer.
Time for beer. So we were on our own little private little... There are threads within threads. So we're on our own little private thread discussing the need to have beer. And
WhatsApp on Facebook. It's like Inception.
It is, isn't it? It's amazing. And so, yeah, so we went there, and then you got there. What was the first beer that you had?
The Dainton...
That terrible cocktail that we had.
The Manhattan. Yes. But the beer was not terrible. It was, was aged in Tasmanian whiskey barrels and then aged again in French oak barrels.
That seems like a lot of work.
And it was a rye beer. It was a rye beer, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a dark rye beer. Or something like that. Yeah.
And it was just it was just really nice.
Sorry, just for the listeners at home, what makes a rye beer?
The use of rye is my
That sounds like a very informed...
Yeah, so you can tell that we totally didn't script this in advance, because if we had, you would have asked that in the rehearsal, and we would have gone, we don't know that, don't ask that question, please.
Look, this is all about spontaneity, so we don't know what a rye beer is.
But well, I'm pretty...
I mean, rye is used in the brewing process. I actually don't think there's much more to it.
Yeah, you know, where you would use malts or barley or something, I presume there's just rye in the mix. So
we have a Google search result.
Oh, no, I'm searching the beer I had so that when you ask me your difficult question, I'm armed with the answer. I'm cheating.
So, Jeff, what beer did you have?
So I rocked up, and when I went into... to buy a drink, I thought, well, maybe I'll have the Manhattan as well. But then I saw, so it was one of the guest beers. So they had the Manhattan for $15, which is exorbitant, but that's what you get. And then, but then they had the...
No, it is a pirate bar. If they're going to steal from you, that, it would be the pirate bar.
And they're going to steal from you in your face. Oh, they're not going to steal from you, yes. Back pocket.
Look, I've seen those Pirates of the Caribbean films. That's always what happens.
And so I had the Black Lung 4 by Moondog, because that was $16. And is at least twice as much alcohol. So it seemed like an arbitrage opportunity to like buy this beer and maybe sell it back to Paul and buy another beer and so on. It was amazing. Like, it was just this.
I love this intricate thought process that went through.
Yeah.
I could buy a Manhattan.
Or I could buy a Black Lung, sell this, and then buy... Yeah, I didn't do any of those things. I just bought the Black Lung 4 and drank it.
It was a long 2 days.
It was long 2 days. This is the sort of shit that was going through my head at the time. but the... Before you ask, the Black Lung 4 is a... It's a aged stout, aged in American oak barrels, and it's peated, so it's quite smoky as well. Mm. And it's pretty punchy, about 9.1%. That was exactly what I needed... on 36 hours no sleep was a 9.1% beer. Oddly enough, didn't fall asleep.
No. What? This has been the week of not minimum asleep. 9% beers, but not falling asleep.
That's right. It's been amazing.
I feel like we're going to get to that point where, you know, dogs and cats will live together and, hell will freeze over. You're not falling asleep for any reason.
Well,
and you're not sleeping, period.
Yeah.
It'll be like Marge's version of the Itchy and Scratchy Show.
We're friends.
Thank you, 20th Century Fox.
But the rest of that night, actually, we had what most people would consider to be a normal Friday night. So what we did, we went to the Beaufort, two beers each. Went across the road for dinner, had a glass of wine, went home.
Yeah.
End night.
Walked past many bars. Walked past the Great Northern.
Walked past the Cure. Walked past
Stuck
Gerald's.
Our heads into Gerald's.
That's right.
Listeners, I can only describe the look on my face, and it's of sheer, utter surprise. And a little bit of terror. And I don't know what's going on with my two co-hosts here.
Yeah, we knew I was coming the next day.
We did. So,
so for those listening at home, the next day Jeff put on a... It was a party,
so...
A soiree, if you will.
Let's not go so far. Soiree implies some sort of sophistication or something like that. So we'd had an idea for a while. I've got a table tennis table at my house that some of my friends gave me for my 30th. And so we thought, well, we should crack the table out and use it. We thought, okay... That's a good idea. And then as we were obviously drinking at the time, we're having this conversation, and then we thought, we should totally also, you've got a Wii, we should play Mario Kart as well. I thought, yeah, that would work well. We can have one group. And then we Then as the conversation continued, we just started talking about all these crappy songs that we liked back in the 80s and the 90s. We thought, the soundtrack for this event shall be one-hit wonders only. And so, hence the three elements of the party were born. It was the table tennis, Mario Kart, and one-hit wonders party.
See, I reckon I was there for two out of those three conversations, but I don't remember the one-hit wonders party.
Yeah.
Now, I may have just had that conversation with myself.
And I remember the one-hit wonders.
Yeah, okay.
Conversation. That's good.
It did occur. I'm glad. But the one-hit wonders thing, that was a really, really interesting exercise to go through, to actually go through and find genuine one-hit wonders.
Yeah. Well, because there were a few. I mean, Paul and I do distinctly remember standing there going, they had more than just this song.
There was a few of those.
There were a few ones that were probably a little bit dodgy, but there were also ones which most people would think are one-hit wonders, which on doing the research, I discovered, no, they had at least three or four top 10 hits. You can't call that a one-hit wonder. It was.
And we also discovered that Chris has never heard, had no idea what OMD's If You Leave is.
No, I had no idea. And actually, I was probably drunk enough that I can't even remember now.
Yeah, it was a good night. So the table tennis, even though it was raining, because the table tennis was outside, we managed to get a few games in on that. It was, people brave the cold to do that. And
I think, look, for me, the moral of that night was, I thought I was good at Mario Kart. I really thought I was. But I think the moment you have, like, one beer in your system, it's just downhill from there. It's the greatest sign that you can... That's what the TAC should have for all of their ads.
See, I know I...
If you drink in Mario Kart, you can't drive.
See, I know I was good at Mario Kart. Was being the operative word. I had the Game Boy Advance version. And, I used to know every corner and just how to take it. And
I think you might still be awesome at Mario Kart on the Game Boy Advance. I'm still awesome at Mario Kart on the DS.
I'm not awesome
at Mario Kart on the Wii because the control system is completely different. You've got this thing that you're waving in midair. Yeah. It's terrible. Right. And then some fool chose a track which had no barriers on the side, and that was just the end of the night.
That fool would be my wife.
I seriously spent one race just falling off the edge of the same corner over and over again.
Good thing about it though, because we were all so bad at that level, you still had the opportunity to come fourth last.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, as long as we were beating the other three people, it didn't matter.
That's all that mattered.
Yeah. And moving on to our first beer for tonight. Now, Jeff, what the hell is this?
So this is the Canis Majoris by Barossa Valley Brewing. So
I didn't know Barossa Valley did.
Well, actually, I mean, tonight all this week at the Ale House, it's the Best of South Australia tap takeover. So I think there's 14 different breweries from SA being showcased.
And I should point out, listeners, that by the time I get around to editing this, it probably won't still be on.
Well, you've done pretty well so far, though. I mean, it could well still be on.
Fair call, as you were.
So Barossa Valley Brewing, I also didn't know until I rocked up today that they brew beers. So Canis Majoris, I don't know if anyone has their Latin dictionaries in front of them, but it basically means...
Big dog?
Or big dog, great dog, literal, but it means of the great dog. So it is actually in the genitive case, which is the possessive case. So I don't know why they chose it. Maybe because it rhymes.
That could work.
I presume it's meant to be the great dog beer.
And I mean, in fairness to breweries, they're not known for knowing their Latin.
But they knew enough Latin to pick this as the name.
What about modus operandi?
True.
Yeah.
True. That's a very good point.
So what is this beer?
It's a double IPA.
When one IPA just isn't enough.
When one IPA, 8% alcohol, so pretty punchy. Wow. There's a description on Rate Beer. Rate Beer is another one of these apps that you can use to refer to discover what beers are about. It says, this is a massive beer named after the largest sun known to man. So Canis Majoris must also be the name of a star out in space somewhere.
Spaceland.
Yeah, I'm very articulate tonight. Well done, me. It is a beer for hopheads with over 10 times the hops of your average beer.
It's an average beer.
Right.
What is an average beer? And what is 10 times? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that was a minute, like the brewer's description, right?
Well, it's on. I presume so. It's on right beer, and it says, "Yeah, we brewed this beer, etc., etc." Mm. So yes, it would appear that they have put this.
It's an interesting metric, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 times the number of hops. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So what do we think about this? I mean, it's quite a thick beer to me.
Well, I quite like Josh, who had it at, he hasn't said where he's had it. He's got it in a bottle, not off the tap. But his description is actually describes exactly what I was thinking. That's grapefruit and biscuit with a medium full mouthfeel with a lingering bitter finished, well balanced, double IPA. And yeah, that's couldn't have said it better.
I agree, because the thing about the double IPA is a lot of the time you drink it and it is very viscous and very sweet. I know you find this a bit dense, but compared to other double IPAs, I think it's actually not. Like, it actually comes across much. It doesn't taste... I won't dispute that it's 8%, but it doesn't taste as heavy as a lot of other 7 or 8% beers. I think, you know, I find
that's,
this very...
Yeah, that's true.
Very
that's
drinkable.
True.
Very drinkable, yeah. This beer. I really like it.
See, I was just thinking about Josh's description. To me, that sounds like maybe something you would order from maybe, say, a hipster cafe. Breakfast.
Yeah, so Scott E., who had it on the 4th of April... Smashing South Australian Double IPA, big piney with lovely citrus notes, very, very drinkable for 8% alcohol by volume. Again, completely agree. And interesting the consistency between the descriptions, unlike some of the beers that we've
previously
reviewed. In fact, I was re-listening to an old podcast, I'm a Narcissist at Heart, and there was some beer, I think it might have been the Nans Driving by Feral, where there were just completely disparate descriptions of this beer. Like, it was if
that
people were drinking...
That was an interesting beer, though.
It was, but they were just you just have these beers where people just have complete and that, you know, that's cool when that happens, but it's also cool when everyone can kind of agree what this thing tastes like.
I do quite enjoy it. I mean, I feel like you know if I had more than one, me being the lightweight that I am, I'd probably just be asleep in the corner. This is a place I can do that, but that's beside the point.
This is on the nap list.
Exactly. One of these days we'll publish that nap list.
And the band list.
Yeah. No, we can't publish.
I'm going to start up my own blog, completely unassociated with this, that just, it'll be called thebandlist.com.
See, you're just going to start a podcast. It's just you listen off the band list.
Branching about the place that I banned this week.
Who needs the urban list when you've got the band list?
That's right. It's the process of elimination, either what's good or what's bad, whatever works for you.
Listeners, if you're out there and you feel like getting this started for us, I'm sure we can support it for you.
Absolutely.
So, out of 5, what do we give this?
I give it 4.
Yeah.
It's
it broke the 3.5 ceiling.
Broke the 3.5, and we all know how rare that is. It's got to be good, and it's good.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I concur. 4 out of 5. Definitely.
Look, I'm going to start giving star ratings. I would say that's a 4. I like it.
Again, excellent. The consensus.
Good work, team. And we're back, and we have beer number 2. And I don't know what this one is either. Paul, what have we got?
It is the Lobetal Chocolate Oatmeal Stout.
Nice.
So it is, from memory, when I was in South Australia, Lobetal is one of the oldest breweries in the country. So it's set up in sort of the Adelaide Hills, just south of the Barossa Valley.
Yep.
That's where the largest German settlement in Australia, and they got towns like Harndorf and very lot of German families or German descended families, and this is one of the original breweries from back in the day, so even though South craft brewing is relatively new to South Australia, when I was there just under a year and a half ago. And a few had just started up. And the scene was very much in its infancy. But these guys have been around for quite a long time.
Well, I mean, there would have been a time when Coopers was a craft brewery.
Well, I think they still technically are.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, it's a craft brewery.
Okay, not a microbrewery. Yeah. But point taken.
They're still family owned.
Yeah, good point.
The Coopers family.
And they're not Carlton.
And I mean, if you go into Dan Murphy's and you walk into the craft beer section, Cooper's will be there. Not that that is any measure of what is a craft brewery, but I'm just saying that that will be.
Although, can I point out, it's quite upsetting that the Ale House does not have Cooper's on tap.
It did, isn't it? And that's when it was the comfy chair. The Cooper's was one of the first... So this was one of the first places I came to. So when I moved to Melbourne, the whole reason I ended up in Brunswick, because moved back from London and two of my friends were renting in Brunswick East and had a place. And I was like, we got a spare room. I was like, yep, cool. And looked on the map, and as a tourist to Melbourne, I'd never been north of Carlton because you just don't as a tourist.
No, well, that's where it gets scary.
Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, Brunswick, okay, why not? And yeah, 3 years later, here I still am. But for one of the first dinners we organised, it was my friend's, actually, it would have been about this time 3 years ago, because it was her 27th, and she just had her 30th now. And we went to the Indian restaurant. An Indian restaurant just
Kaki
up the road. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So this was when I was still unemployed. So I had loads of time to spare, so I decided to walk up Sydney Road. It would have been one of the first times I'd walked up Sydney Road. And came to the comfy chair, got a pint of Cooper's and sat on... there were couches here. There were couches here, weren't
Yes, it? I mean, the comfortable chair was not just a clever name.
No, they were actually really comfy couches.
So they didn't call them the clean chair, mind you. They just called them the comfortable chair.
Yeah, I was sitting there and watching the world go by on Sydney Road for like the first time in my life, and... The next time I went to this venue, it was the Ale House Project.
Mm. Yeah, you mean Lygon Street?
Lygon Street.
No. So
long week. I've only had 4 hours sleep.
Well, what?
But back to our original. We digress.
So this is a really nice beer. It's a really, really nice.
And in fact, so I'm actually a big fan of the oatmeal stout. Chocolate oatmeal stout, or the oatmeal stout style just generally.
Highest calorie beer there is.
Exactly.
That's milk stout.
Yes, milk stout would be. This calorie. Is probably like the second highest calorie. Well, this has got chocolate in it too, so.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm sure you can ascertain that a chocolate oatmeal stout contains both chocolate and oatmeal in the brewing process. I mean, you're welcome to ask the question, but.
Look, it was. I've actually always been slightly curious about this because you know how. You know, what is it, the chicken 2-minute noodles, for example, contain no chicken whatsoever.
However, the
vegetable 2-minute noodles contain chicken, I think.
And the barbecue chips contain no barbecue. I think Greg Fleet did a very amusing sketch. No, it's about barbecue shapes, in fact, where he talked about taking a bite out of his 6-burner to see if the barbecue shape tasted like a barbecue and, you know...
Yeah, the barbecue flavor. How do they come up with that?
What does that even mean?
Well, so when I was in the UK, when I first went to the UK and they had Worcestershire... flavoured crisps.
Mm.
And I tried them and I was like, this is barbecue. It's the same flavour.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if you're out there, if you ever get your hands, do a blind taste test, get someone to give you a handful of Worcestershire flavoured chips, crisps, and a handful of barbecue chips, and I challenge you to tell the difference on a blind taste test.
Because I've had this beer once before, and I had it at Carlin Cellars up in Thornbury, which is another craft beer establishment.
A very, very good craft beer establishment.
We've spoken about it before, but interestingly, so I think this to me right now really highlights the importance of the craft beer setup and the length of the lines that you run and how often you clean them. Because when I had this beer at Carlin Cellars, my immediate response and the response of the person I was drinking with was, this is a bit watery, the flavour is a bit meh. I don't actually like this that much. Whereas now I drink this, and this is quite full flavoured. I can definitely get the full impact of the chocolate, the oatmeal, it's the stoutiness of it coming through. And so it's very interesting to have two completely different reactions to the same beer in two different locations. Because here, for those who are on the listening, you won't be able to see what I'm pointing at, but the way I'm pointing to the taps, and the way the bar is set up here is you've got the taps on one side, and immediately on the other side of the taps is the beer fridge, and so that's pretty much the shortest distance that you can have between the tap and the keg. So that is going to be about as clean as you will get a beer out of the keg, tap into glass. Whereas other locations, in fact, Carlin would be a good example. There would actually be quite a distance between the kegs and the taps.
Well, it's interesting you bring this up, and it's mostly interesting because it's... I always heard the story. I always used to complain about how a Guinness here did not taste like a Guinness, say, in Europe.
I can confirm that is true.
And people always used to, or a few people used to say to me that, no, it's because that they don't, people don't order enough Guinness, so they don't clean the tap. Like,
rubbish.
Sorry, clean
it's
the
water.
Pipes enough.
100% it's the water.
Let's see, I've heard all these different reports, but it's interesting because if you go to somewhere like, say, The Last Jar, Guinness tastes a lot better than if you buy it from,
oh, really?
Say, over the road.
That's interesting.
And so all I keep thinking is, it's also a stout.
Yes.
Whether there's some sort of trait there where that stouts are less durable for...
Well, I would have assumed that they would be more durable, just because if the flavour is that intense and that strong, it should be less...
And you
less...
can't see through it.
Exactly. Right? It should be less susceptible to getting messed up in the... Anyway, I think...
Look, maybe it's more vulnerable, Jeff, you know?
Maybe. Yeah. You're probably right.
So anyway,
let's
so
be honest, we're not...
So we like this beer.
We like this beer.
I think is the general consensus. What are people saying about it on Untappd?
So, Danny S, who's at the Poor House, P-O-U-R House.
Yeah,
awesome.
I know, that's
a classic one.
Very punny.
Rock on, Danny.
Awesome chocolatey flavour. Good amount of sweet and bitter. A bit thin but solid.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Zach S at the same venue. Chocolatey oats roastiness. Pleasant with a nice sweetness. Lovely nose. But really just a bit thin. A touch more body and I could rave. So actually, these people have actually got the same comments that I would have made when I first had the beer.
Okay.
So maybe they are also drinking an inferior version of this beer.
Hmm.
This is interesting.
It is interesting. Well, maybe it was less to do with the taps and more to do with the... maybe it was just a bad batch.
Maybe, because I don't regard this as being particularly thin or lacking in
flavour. No, neither do I.
No,
yeah, it's quite
full. That was... I tried... There's another beer on there, the King Kong.
Yeah,
and Scotty behind the bar tonight, I ordered this, and he looked at me. He said, "I'll give you a taste test of both this and the King Kong. I prefer the King Kong." And one of the reasons I preferred this one is the King Kong was a nice beer, by the way. But the reason I preferred this was because it was sort of thicker and had more of what I, but not overly thick, just the right kind of thickness for a stout is
more body.
Yeah. Full of body, yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, what else are people saying about it?
So. Not a bad chocolate oatmeal stout. It says
look, it's
Aaron C, but not the Aaron C we know.
It's very descriptive, but not exactly helpful.
Yes.
So, Craft Beer Quest on the 4th of April said, smoky aromas of malts with a mild chocolate taste and minimal bitterness. Label says sweet, but it's not too sweet to be overpowering. That... much more descriptive, much more helpful.
I get the impression
a lot of people
that
are drinking this out of the bottle as well. I'm noticing from the photos.
They
the
are too. That's very true.
I should point out that the last comment was from someone called Craft Beer Fest. No,
Craft Beer Quest.
So I get the feeling they're probably even more professional than we are. Which, let's be honest,
well,
wouldn't
it,
take much.
It looks like the guy's got the right glass and everything. You know, it's yeah, you know the.
Yeah, yeah, like a proper chalice.
A proper chalice. A chalice. Good use of underused word.
Yeah, it needs more. You know, it needs more action. All right, so guys, what do we give this?
I quite like it, but I think it suffers for me by comparison to other stouts. There are a lot of very impressive chocolate and oatmeal stouts out there, so I think I'd give it. Around, I think Paul's 3.5 sounds about right to me. I think
you've taken the fence-sitting approach.
I have. It's rare, but
yeah, you normally don't subscribe to the Christoph school.
Not at all.
So I think I would normally give this a 3.5. Normally I'd give it a 3.5, but it's been a long time since I've had a chocolate oatmeal stout with the cold weather definitely arriving now. It's just. You know, it's hitting the spot. It signifies to me that winter is coming. So, 4 stars.
A little Game of Thrones reference.
That's
there.
We'll all be watching that later tonight.
No, I'm not going to watch it until the season is over.
Really? That's very disciplined of you. I'm impressed.
I enjoy this, but I would only give it a 3.5. I would take the Christoph rule on this one.
So everybody takes the Christoph rule except Christoph.
I know.
And on that bombshell.
Unprecedented.
Thank you, Clarkson. Alrighty, people. It has been great. We have been the Brunswick Beer Collective. Get online and have a talk with us. Give us your comments. Give us your abuse. We'll take most of it. obviously give most of the abuse to Jeff. I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Jeffrey Chi.
Good night.
And Paul Christoph.
Until next time.
And we will see you again.